Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Happy Monday Fun Day on this March 12, 2018. I trust that you all had a great weekend. I know that I did. And it was a pretty big weekend in the world of men's college basketball, seeing as though you can now fill out your bracket. You can now vie for that possible, what is it, like $1 million if you get like a perfect bracket, or $1 billion, maybe a billion with a B. But still, I mean, gosh, nobody ever nails a perfect bracket, right? It's never happened before, but the 68-team field has been set. The selection show took place last night at 6 p.m. on TBS, and we now know where your Michigan State men's basketball team has been seated, and they don't have to go far, playing right in its backyard in Detroit, downtown Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. Also, we know where the Michigan Wolverines will be opening up round one of the NCAA men's basketball tournament as well. So we'll talk a lot of NC2A tourney today, and we'll be also doing that with our dear friend and pal, Deshaun Tate, who is a men's college basketball reporter, producer, and host for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. Deshaun actually held his annual selection show day show yesterday, and had a few interesting breakdowns. I'll tune in for a little bit of it, and Deshaun will help us break down the bracket today. You'll also get a chance to hear just a snippet of what head coach Tom Izzo of the Michigan State men's basketball team had to say after getting and receiving the bid to head to, of course, Detroit, to LCA to open up the tournament. So we'll break down what Tom had to say. Also, Cassius Winston and Miles Bridges were made available. We'll tell you a little bit about Bucknell and how Bucknell's season has gone this year. This is a team that you don't want to sleep on, a team that has had that has a few weapons, I should say. And I'll break all of that down for you all. And then on the back end of the show, we will have weekend winners for you, and that will feature a man by the name of Tiger Woods. Tiger had one heck of a weekend, putting together four fantastic rounds that kept him competitive down in Tampa Bay, Florida. We'll break down Tiger's four rounds at the Valspar. And it was an entertaining Sunday, I tell you. I mean, watching Tiger in that red and black, that usual red and black on Sunday, that was fun. That was fun. So all of that and so much more, we invite you to be a part of our airwaves. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also chime in via Twitter. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Or you can tweet the show at WKAR underscore sports, or just simply go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Live stream is up and running. You can comment below that video, and I will do my best to read your comments throughout this hour. So a jam-packed show. I want to know what you think about Michigan State seeding. What do you think about Michigan seeding? How far do you think the four teams who were selected out of the Big Ten Conference to compete in the NCAA tournament, how far do you think those four teams will go? We'll discuss all of that. 517-355-WKAR. But hey, you know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this March 1-2. And we start with the NCAA tourney. Michigan and Michigan State both earned a 3 seed in this year's NCAA Big Dance. But one of those 3 seeds is not like the other. Though the Wolverines beat Tom Izzo's squad both times the teams squared off, the Spartans will be playing their opening weekend games with a bit of a home court advantage as they drew Bucknell on Friday at Little Caesars Arena in Detroit as part of the Midwest region of the bracket. Michigan will head to Wichita, Kansas, where it will square off against 14 seed Montana on Thursday in the West region. Now, the game times of both of those matchups were announced late last night. Michigan State will play Bucknell at 7:10 p.m. Michigan will take on Montana in the late slate game at 9:50 p.m. on Thursday. Now, as for the rest of the Big Ten, Purdue was given the highest seed of all Big Ten teams with a 2 seed in the East. Ohio State was the fourth and final Big Ten team to make the Big Dance and was given a 5 seed and a meeting with South Dakota State in the West. Again, we'll break down the bracket in just a moment. We'll talk about the seeding for both Michigan State and Michigan. Keep it locked. Michigan State men's basketball also announced its individual team award winners at the annual banquet inside the Breslin Center. That was prior to Selection Sunday, the Selection Sunday show yesterday. Now, sophomore guard slash forward Miles Bridges was named the recipient of the Charles S. Phillips Most Valuable Player as voted on by the media and the Gus Kanakis MVP Award as voted on by the team. Sophomore Nick Ward received the Jumping Johnny Green Chairman of the Boards Award. He leads the team and ranks 8th in the Big Ten with a team-leading 7.2 boards per game. Freshman forward Xavier Tillman and graduate forward Ben Carter were recipients of the Unsung Player Award. Tillman has played in every game this season and provided depth in the front court for the Spartans, averaging 2.7 points, 2.3 boards in 8 minutes. Carter, who missed all of last year with an injury, has been a valuable leader for the team, both on and off the court. The John E. Bennington Defensive Player of the Year Award was shared by junior guard Matt McQuaid and sophomore guard Josh Langford. This is the second straight year McQuaid was the recipient of that award. Senior co-captain Lou Rawls Tum Tum Naren Jr. won both the Stephen G. Scoffs Inspirational Player Award and Antonio Smith Glue and Guts Award. This is the fourth straight year that Naren has been the recipient of the Inspirational Player Award. Junior forward Kyle Arnes named the Scholar Athlete Award winner. Arnes is an advertising major who was an academic All-Big Ten selection last year, and freshman guard Jack Hoiberg was the recipient of the Tim Brogracus Walk-On Award. Former Michigan State Michigan State football running back Madre London is headed to the Tennessee Volunteers as a graduate transfer. London made the announcement last night on Twitter and told ESPN.com that Tennessee recently offered him a roster spot. London asked for his release from Michigan State back in February, and he is on track to graduate from the school in May. London rushed for 304 yards on 83 carries last season with the Spartans in a reserve role. This is what London told ESPN.com. Quote, "I felt like Tennessee was a great fit. I like where they are heading and what they are trying to do with the program. They want to bring Tennessee back. It was a good situation for me knowing I could contribute right away." All right, Mason Erla and the Michigan State baseball team stymied Illinois 4-2 Saturday, snapping the Illini 7-game win streak in the final game of the First Pitch Invitational played at Fluor Field, home of the Greenville Drive in Greenville, South Carolina. Now, on the season entering Saturday's game versus Michigan State, Illinois was averaging 8.8 hits per game, hitting .261 on the year. But Erla, along with sophomore relievers Mike Mokma and Mitchell Taranowski, kept the Illini in check. Erla retired the first four Illini batters he faced, and at one point, from the fourth to the seventh frames, he retired 10 in a row. Now, with the win, Michigan State improved to 4-10 on the year, while Illinois is now 8-4. The Spartans have now beaten the Illini in four of the last five meetings, closing the gap in the all-time series to 77-70. Illinois finished the First Pitch Invitational with a 2-1 record, while Michigan State was 1-2, and Furman went .500 at 1-1. Detroit Pistons forward Reggie Bullock sustained minor injuries after being hit in a minor two-car accident on Sunday morning as he was heading to practice. As he was on his way to the Pistons practice facility in Auburn Hills, the incident occurred on Adams Road. The Pistons were having their last practice before leaving Sunday afternoon for Salt Lake City to begin a 12-day, 6-game Western road trip. Stan Van Gundy, head coach, said, quote, "He got hit and the other driver took off. He didn't practice. He's traveling, but what he'll be able to do, I don't know." "He's okay," Van Gundy said. "He's here, but he's banged up and he has back spasms." That's not a good look. Bullock has been playing really well as of late. He has had a breakthrough season for the Red, White, and Royal Blue. 10.7 points, 2.4 rebounds per game in 51 games, including 41 starts. The Detroit Red Wings will try to end a 5-game home losing streak when they play the San Jose Sharks at Little Caesars Arena come Wednesday. Detroit is 0-4-1 at its new rink since a 4-2 win against the Florida Panthers on January 5th. The Wings lost 5-1 at home to the Chicago Blackhawks on January 25th in their last game before the All-Star break, allowing a hat trick to rookie Alex DeBrincat. Now, the Wings forward Darren Helm and Justin Albuquerque and defenseman Trevor Daly are expected to return after missing time before the break. And also the Detroit Tigers. The Tigers are currently battling the Washington Nationals. First pitch took place at 1:05 p.m. at Joker Merchant Stadium in Lakeland, Florida. The Tigers lost the last meeting between the two on March 4th by a score of 6-2. Second baseman Dixon Machado led the lineup for the Tigers, and lefty Matthew Boyd got the start at pitcher. Currently, the game is still in the top of the first inning. Boyd has struck out the first two Washington hitters. And how about Tiger Woods? All week long, Tiger Woods was really the only story above the fold at the Valspar Championship in the Tampa Bay, Florida area. The former world number one once again producing page-grabbing material with eye-opening play in front of record-setting crowds craving a glimpse of what he once was. And what a show did he put on. You know, I saw a report that stated that Tiger Woods drew a crowd of over 150,000 people throughout those four rounds at the Valspar. And I tell you what, that's part of the reason why I was almost late to this election show yesterday for the Michigan State men's basketball team. I was watching that final round as Tiger actually birdied a 44-foot putt to come within one stroke of the lead at the Valspar, but he ended up, you know, putting up a par on the 18th hole, and he actually finished seventh. But I have more, second, not seventh, second at the Valspar. I have more on Tiger Woods on the back end of the show. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Again, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. The live stream is up and running, and you can even tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR. Or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Let's keep it pushing.
You abandoned me. Love don't live here anymore. Just a vacancy. Love don't live here anymore. When you lived inside of me, there was nothing I could conceive.
I'm not going to be any different than any other coach, probably. If you win, the 2 weeks off did you well. If you lose, they caused you to lose. I'll say it now ahead of time. Nothing's going to cause us to lose but us. We did have the 2 weeks. I was worried a little bit of getting sent out west on a Thursday game because I think we need to get back into a routine. You know, we took a day off, a day and a half off. We did individual work. We had a decent practice Friday. We had a very good one Saturday. We kind of had to take today off with everything. I think it's going to be good to get into a routine. And I think the Friday, no matter where it was at, would be better, even though that's one more day since when we played. I think the routine, there'll be no excuses about what we did and anything like that.
Just a vacancy. Love don't inside of me, there was nothing I could conceive that you wouldn't do for me. Trouble seems so far away. You changed it right away, baby. You abandoned me.
Love don't live here anymore. A little bit of Rose Royce for you here on this Monday afternoon. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you live here on WKAR AM 870. And also, I want to remind you all, just like we made the announcement last week here on Current Sports, we are now on 105.1 FM. That is our new frequency here at WKAR. So, hello to everyone listening. You're in the Mid-Michigan area via 105.1 FM as well. I am your host, Al Martin. And that's the question I have, folks. All right, Michigan State fans. Does love still live here in East Lansing? Your Spartans have given you 9 days and now counting to try and get over that heartbreak of losing to your rival, Michigan, in New York. No, keep it playing. Turn it back up, man. That's my joint. Let that play. Let that play, dude. Let it ride. Yeah, your Spartans have given you 9 days and counting now to try and get over that heartbreak of losing to your rival Michigan out in New York City at Madison Square Garden. We all know what happened. The semis of the Big Ten tournament. Now, some of you have said, I can't trust you, baby. That's right. Two straight times against that team down the road. You failed me. How can I trust you, boo? We need some time apart. And that is now what has happened. You both have gone your separate ways just for the time being. During that time, Michigan State was so heartbroken from the relationship, they had to leave the state. Went to Chicago, actually, maybe to meditate, maybe to do some yoga. Go watch the famous play Hamilton, which they did. That's a tough ticket to get as well. All of these recentering activities to try and win the love of their fans back. Well, the first of six dates to try and make up and repair this thing begin this week. Friday, downtown Detroit at Little Caesars Arena against
the Bucknell Bison.
I want to know your thoughts on that draw. Why, as you watched the selection show and waited oh so patiently to hear your Michigan State Spartans name to be called on that screen during the broadcast, what did you think of your Spartans earning that three seed and playing in their backyard of Detroit? Don't have to travel far. Playing at Little Caesars Arena come this Friday night a little after 7 p.m. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I got to be real with you all, too. I don't know why many folks out there were so up in arms about the selection show changes this year. I actually liked it a lot. They had a live audience. You know, the studio was great, the big screens, and they went in alphabetical order. So the first 15 minutes of the show were dedicated towards just revealing which teams made the NCAA tourney. They did it in alphabetical order. I had no problem with that. I liked the new format. And then from there, they told you, okay, now these regions are where these 68 teams are going to be placed in. They went region by region and showed you which teams will be matching up against one another and where those teams would be playing. I had no problem with it. I don't know. You know, so many of you guys out there are just so negative when it comes to change. You know, change is inevitable. You know, I liked it better than, I tell you what, 2-3 years ago, where you had to wait an entire 2-hour show to find out what your bracket looks like. I mean, heck, 2 years ago, it got so frustrating that the bracket actually got leaked prior to the selection show. The bracket got leaked on social media. I liked it because now within the first 40 minutes, you got your bracket. You don't have to sit there for the entire 2-hour show and listen to Charles Barkley or Kenny Smith and Greg Gumbel and Ernie, you know, Johnson break down things. If you wanted to tune out after 40 minutes, boom, you got your bracket. You can do that and start filling out things. All right. I had no problem with it whatsoever. And I thought the live audience was a nice touch as well. So how did Michigan State end up in Detroit? Because I got to be real with you all. I was a bit surprised. And I was pretty happy that they did get the Detroit bid. Seeing as though as reporters, we don't have to travel far to now cover the first round of the NCAA tourney. Now, NCAA committee chairman Bruce Rasmussen, he said the bracketing procedures were followed. And the fact that Xavier and Cincinnati, both teams, were seated higher overall than both Michigan and Michigan State. Bruce went on to say that, you know, Xavier and Cincinnati were almost equal distance between Detroit and Nashville. Due to that fact, it made it possible to move both Xavier and Cincy to Nashville and open up a slot in Detroit for Michigan State. So that's how that happened. It all, because I was watching Xavier and Cincy very close to see where the committee was going to put those two teams. And lo and behold, it opened up perfectly for Michigan State to earn that bid to play at LCA. Bruce went on to say, quote, "We had a discussion as a committee, and those sites were very, very close to each other. Really pretty much the same distance from each other, just a few miles. So we went by the seeding principles where the better seeded team on each line got the geographic preference, and that's the way it worked out." So there you have it. That's why Michigan State earned that three seed to play in Detroit. Now, if you're a Michigan fan, you may be a bit annoyed, and you may say to yourself, well, if you look at our overall body of work, we beat better competition. We just won the Big Ten tournament for 2 straight years. Why aren't we in Detroit? Now, if you ask me, I think that the committee looked at Michigan State and said, all right, Michigan State won, though, the outright Big Ten regular season championship. But also, wouldn't it be cool to have a Duke and Michigan State matchup in the Sweet 16? That was also a point they were trying to make as well. That's going to be a very sexy matchup if both teams, like we expect both teams will do. Again, you never know. It's March Madness. Anything can happen, right?
But we all expect Michigan State to take on Duke in the Sweet 16. And that's why, though, I have second thoughts about where Michigan State is seated right now in the Midwest portion of the bracket. Because Tom Izzo's kryptonite is Coach Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K, the Duke Blue Devils. Because Tom Izzo, and this is a stat that we all know, Tom Izzo is just 1-11 against Coach K, with that one win coming in the NCAA tourney back in 2005 in Texas. But Duke is sitting right there. And for some reason, Tom Izzo against Duke, he just hasn't been able to win. In fact, they lost to Duke earlier this year when Grayson Allen just went off. So I don't know about Michigan State beating Duke in the NCAA tourney. That's tough. That is going to be really, really tough. Purdue, which is the 2 seed in the East, was seeded number 7 overall, is also playing in Detroit. I want to let that be known as well. Now, Michigan State was seeded 9 overall. Michigan was seeded number 11 overall. Again, that allowed the Spartans to grab that available spot in Detroit, seeing as though they were ranked higher than Michigan. Now, this will be the second time Michigan State has played at Little Caesars Arena this season after beating Oakland on December 16th. If you remember, back in 2013, both the Michigan Wolverines and the Michigan State Spartans both played and won first and second round games at the Palace in Auburn Hills back in 2013. And that sparked Michigan's Final Four run. Michigan ended up losing to Louisville in the national championship that year. But Bucknell, that's who Michigan State will play in the first round. What do you think of that draw? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Before I push forward here and talk about the Bucknell Bison, I want to welcome to the show a man who took a week off for spring break, seeing as though he is a student here at Michigan State University. He is now the man behind the glass for us. Carell Vega did a great job last week. Carell Vega, host of WKAR's All Things Considered, every weekday afternoon. Carell did a great job filling in, but it's good to have our usual engineer back behind the glass. Ian Hawley, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back, man. It was a long week. It was a much-needed break from all of the chaos here at Michigan State, both in my own life and athletically. But it's good to be back, man. It's the best time of the year. I'm very excited for March Madness. And to be quite honest with you, I'm most excited for these first four play-in games coming up on Thursday.
Some good play-in
games. Because I've got Arizona State coming out and beating TCU in their opening round game as well to play Michigan State in round two. So I'm looking forward to a lot of basketball here.
A lot of people forget, Ian, Arizona State was once the number two team in the country.
12-0 at one point in the season with wins over Xavier and Kansas. I mean, they were looking pretty hot. I know their conference season didn't necessarily go as planned, but Arizona State's one of those sleeper teams that I think can make a run here.
Definitely. Well, good to have you back, dude. What did you do for the break? You went down south, right?
Yes, sir. I went back to the state of Alabama to visit my friends from high school. I graduated high school there, so I haven't been back since because my family moved up to Michigan now. But it was good to see all those people. Good to catch up with everybody at Auburn and Alabama, and glad they're all doing well. But it's good to be back here, man. I'm happy to be back with Current Sports, where I belong.
There you go. And speaking of Auburn, I mean, Auburn is actually in the Midwest with Michigan State. And
shout out
to Bruce Pearl. Mm-hmm. The first time that Auburn has won, you know, the SEC since, like, my goodness, I think 1999. So congratulations to Bruce Pearl on the regular season SEC championship. That should be interesting. Watch out for Auburn.
Did you watch the Iron Bowl matchup in the SEC tournament between Alabama and Auburn?
Of course. That's not like football, though, but still. I mean, that's
it's
pretty big, though. I mean, anytime those two teams meet in any sport, right?
Oh, so, yeah. They're going to give it their all.
Definitely. All right. The Bucknell Bison. this is an interesting team because you can't overlook any team around this time of the year because it's March Madness
Anything can happen. And I know Spartan fans, I hate to do this, but we all remember what happened just a few years ago as Michigan State, which they were a favorite to go all the way, at least make a Final Four that year. They went out in the first round losing to Middle Tennessee State University, a team that I was pretty shocked didn't make the tournament this year. So anything could happen. I say that to say anything could happen, and you can't overlook any matchup. Tom Izzo knows that. You just heard him in our intro not too long ago talking about the week off and how his team will respond with the week off. And again, as I've noted countless times last week on Current Sports, I liked the week off for Michigan State because anytime you go through a gut-checking loss like that to your in-state rival, losing back-to-back games against your in-state rival, you know, the latest one coming in the Big Ten tournament semifinals, you need a week off maybe to recalibrate. And again, this will be almost, what, 2 weeks? You know, when Michigan State plays on Friday, I mean, we're talking almost 2 weeks here that Michigan State has not played a game. Maybe they needed this time to, again, as I noted, to recenter, to bond a bit, and just think about what they want to accomplish this year in the big dance. If you're Michigan, on the flip side, if you're Michigan, I mean, again, you wanted to play a game that Monday. You want the NCAA tournament to start that Monday to keep that hot streak going. When you're in a groove, you want to stay in a groove. But this is good for Michigan State. And I want to hit our first break right now. When I come back, I'll tell you a little bit about the Bucknell Bison. And again, keep it locked because we will be talking with men's college basketball producer, host, and reporter for CBS Radio down in Atlanta, Mid-Michigan's own Deshaun Tate. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, here on the Monday after Selection Sunday. I know many of you have probably already filled out about 10 brackets already. You got until, what, Thursday? Thursday is when the NCAA tournament officially begins. And again, the 68-team field has been set. I mean, this is the best time of the sporting year, really. I mean, there is nothing like the NCAA men's basketball tournament. I love watching to see who the Cinderellas this year are going to be, if a low seed can make an improbable run to maybe a Sweet 16 or maybe even an Elite Eight appearance, right? We've never really seen a Cinderella, a really, really true Cinderella, make it all the way to win a national championship. But it's always fun to kind of predict where the upsets are going to take place throughout the bracket. And it's really, really tough. It's pretty much impossible to, you know, predict a perfect bracket because it's so unpredictable. I love it. Absolutely love it. And we just spent segment A discussing the seeding for your Michigan State men's basketball team. Again, Michigan State will play Bucknell come this Friday night at Little Caesars Arena, downtown Detroit. And I'm curious to hear from our listeners as well. I'm curious if any of our listeners actually has a ticket for this weekend at LCA, because I looked up some prices last night when I got home, and some of them are crazy, like over $200 a pop for like nosebleed seats at Little Caesars Arena. Now, I've heard good things about LCA, though. I mean, this weekend covering, you know, this tourney matchup for MSU and this tourney run, this early tourney run for Michigan State, I'll be there this weekend at Little Caesars Arena. I've never been to LCA, but I know a lot of people that have attended various Pistons games, and they say it's not a bad seat in the house. It's a really cool arena. It's state-of-the-art. It's beautiful. So I can't wait to see it. So
Who knows? Maybe that, you know, maybe dropping down that $200 to go check out the Spartans may be worth it. Who knows? But again, Michigan State, Bucknell, MSU earning a 3 seed. Bucknell is a 14 seed. And we'll see what happens. Again, Duke, though, Duke looms at the very bottom of that bracket as the 2 seed in the Midwest. Duke will play Iona, and then Duke will move on to play the winner of Rhode Island and Oklahoma. And I tell you what, I was surprised that, you know, well, I wasn't surprised. I'll put it this way. Oklahoma making the NCAA tournament, they had a bad back half of the year. And a lot of Oklahoma making the tournament has to do with Mr. Trae Young. Let's be real here. Trae Young is a dynamic player. He is one of the best players in men's college basketball, even though he kind of teetered off on the back end of the season as well. But Trae Young is a huge name in this year's tourney. Going to be fun to see if Oklahoma matches up with Duke, if they don't get beat by Rhode Island. Actually, Rhode Island is a higher seed in comparison to Oklahoma. Oklahoma is the 10 seed, Rhode Island the 7 seed. That's going to be a fun matchup to see Trae Young take on Marvin Bagley, Grayson Allen, and those cats in the Duke blue. So we'll see. But who are the Bucknell Bison? I had to do some research immediately after the selection show yesterday because I booked from the Breslin to actually Fox 47. Now, I want to give a big shout out and thanks to Jack Ebling, who is a broadcasting legend here in the mid-Michigan area. He invited me to join the panel of Press Pass All-Stars last night. So I joined the broadcast of Jack Ebling, my man Rico Beard, as well as Tom Crawford on last night's episode. And we kind of broke down Michigan and Michigan State seeding and broke down the bracket and so on and so forth. But we really didn't get a chance to dive into who are the Bucknell Bison because, I mean, when we taped that episode last night, it was about an hour after finding out where Michigan State was going to be placed. But the Bucknell Bison, they play in the Patriot League, coached by Nathan Davis. They went 25-9 this season, 16-2 in the Patriot League. They won the Patriot League regular season championship. They have an RPI of 85. A KenPom rating of 107. And, you know, Bucknell, when you look at this team, there are three players that you're going to want to key in and pay close attention to come this Friday night as the Spartans try to knock them off. A trio of senior double-figure scorers. That's what forms the backbone of this Bucknell roster. Senior forward Zach Thomas putting up monster numbers. He's averaging almost a double-double. 20.7 points per game, 9 rebounds per game. He actually earned the Conference Player of the Year. Yes, he was the Patriot League Player of the Year. So Zach Thomas, get to know that brother very well. He'll probably be matched up against Jaren Jackson Jr. or Nick Ward. Senior center, I love this name, Nana Fowland. That's really his name, Nana. His parents must have been Master P fans. Nana Fowland, 15.5 points per game, 7 rebounds per game is what Nana averages. He's a senior center and also senior guard. This is who Cassius Winston will be matched up against. Senior guard Stephen Brown, averaging 14.7 points per game, almost 5 assists per game. And also Fowland and Brown were named first-team all-league selections along with the Patriot League Player of the Year, Zach Thomas. So, Stephen Brown, Zach Thomas, Nana Fowland are the three players that really make the Bucknell Bison hum. Now, as far as style of play, I sat up last night and kind of watched a few highlights of the Bucknell Bison this year. They are a team that loves to shoot the three ball. They've got a lot of great shooters. Probably everybody on this roster can shoot other than maybe Nana Fowland, who has a really nice baby hook shot that he can sink. But this team loves to shoot. They love to run when the opportunity presents itself. And defensively, you know, you won't see zone from this team. You know, maybe if they do a little scouting, though, you'll find that Michigan State has had a bit of trouble against zone defense this season. Maybe they break out their box and go zone defense against MSU. But normally, the Bucknell Bison is a man-to-man team. Now, They won, what, 18 of their last 19 games to finish out the year. They are one of the hottest teams in the field this year. They held off Loyola Maryland in the Patriot League quarterfinals before taking down Boston and Colgate to claim the title. And also doing further reading this morning, Bucknell's senior class is the only senior class to win the conference championship, not one, not two, not three, but four times. This is a senior class that has never not won the Patriot League championship. So, I say all that to say this. This is a dangerous double-digit seed team. Top four players are returning from a team that gave number four seed West Virginia a scare last season. Bucknell is a team that nobody really wants to face in the first round. So I think this is going to be a good game. You know, I saw that, you know, according to Vegas, Michigan State has opened as a double-digit, you know, winner in this game. I think the line, when I saw it, it was like 12 to 14 points. That may have moved from when I saw it last night. But this is a dangerous team. And actually, you know, Bucknell, they have made either the NIT or the NCAA tourney, with the exception of 1 year, since 2011. So this is a dangerous team, especially, you know, you look at, you know, Michigan State and some of the bugaboos and problems that the opposition has given them, even though this has been a record-breaking year, the best start in program history, one of the best teams in Michigan State men's basketball history. The teams that have given Michigan State problems, i.e. the Michigan Wolverines, have been teams that have been able to knock down the three ball. And that is something that the Bucknell Bison can do. Ian, when evaluating what I just said in this matchup for Michigan State, what do you think? An early prediction here. What do you think? How do you think this game will play out come Friday night?
There was a time where I was young and naive, and I would have looked past this matchup and said, oh, Michigan State's got this one in the bag because they're the number three seed and Bucknell's the 14. But Middle Tennessee changed that a couple years ago for me. Let me get this phone real quick. I'll come back to you.
Okay, yeah, come back to me. Answer that, because we got callers calling in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. But yeah, this is a team that you don't overlook. And believe me, Tom Izzo is making sure, because that's the thing. When you deal with a young team like Michigan State, anything could happen. You don't know where their mindset is. And I think when it comes to the struggles for Michigan State against Michigan, youth has certainly played a factor in those two matchups. But now you're on the big stage where one mistake can cost you your dreams of possibly going to a Final Four and possibly winning a national championship. Tom Izzo is making sure, and I'm sure he has spent these last 9 days and counting, drilling that home to his team, that the mistakes end now if you want to accomplish the dream of winning a national championship. And he is stressing that. This is why Miles Bridges came back. This is why he made that announcement in front of the Sparty statue on campus that he was returning for a sophomore campaign. He is trying to win a championship here. And the little things are going to be amplified this time of the year. But as I've stated numerous times this season, the matchup that I'm going to be really looking at is the Stephen Brown versus Cassius Winston matchup. Because when Cassius does not play well, Michigan State does not win. Simple as that. Now, if the Spartans beat Bucknell, Arizona State, Syracuse, or TCU, those are the three teams that are possibilities for Michigan State in that second round matchup. Arizona State and Syracuse, as Ian mentioned, will meet in a play-in game Wednesday night in Dayton, with the winner getting 6-seed TCU in Detroit on Friday. Arizona State, as I mentioned, was once a number two seed in the country. So, I don't know, a bad ranking maybe, you know, placed next to the ASU name due to a win at Kansas. Now, Kansas is the number one seed, though, in the Midwest Regional. And I agreed with the top four seeds that they had. I mean, those are the names that have been predicted for a long, long time now. You know, Villanova, Virginia, as well as Kansas and Xavier. Those are the four names you've heard for a long, long time now. I had no problem with those four number one seeds. Now, when it comes to TCU, TCU's best win came against West Virginia. The Horned Frogs, coached by Jamie Dixon, lost a lot of close games in the Big 12. Syracuse is pretty average, if that. So that, you know, if anything, maybe you're rooting for Syracuse in this whole scenario because I think they're the worst of those three teams. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. John, I see you. I'm going to take your call after this second break. Let's hit our second break right now. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Deshaun Tate, men's college basketball producer, host, and reporter for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. And again, if you want to call in, just like my man John, who's waiting patiently, 517-355-WKAR. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, right here live on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. We have been talking tourney all hour. What do you think of Michigan State's bid as a 3-seed playing in its backyard of Detroit, D-Town, my hometown of Detroit, at Little Caesars Arena is where that game will take place against Bucknell Friday night at 7:10 p.m. And also, what do you think about Michigan seeding? As Michigan will open up the tourney against Montana this Thursday night at 9:50 p.m. Call in 517-355-WKAR. We've got John from Jackson on line one. John, welcome to Current Sports.
Hey, thanks. First of all, where is Bucknell? Do you know?
That's a really good question. Let me do a quick Google here. Bucknell is actually in Pennsylvania, Moore Avenue, Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. That's where Bucknell University is located, John.
Okay, I had no idea.
Yeah, so, me neither until you just asked that question. I've been doing all this game preview and didn't even look where the school is.
Yeah. Hey, I know you're always talking about keeping it real, and that's really cool. But what I've never liked about the NCAA tournament is they don't have the top 64 teams in it.
And well, why do you think that, John?
They have teams that qualify for it.
Right.
But that doesn't mean the top 64 are in it and usually aren't, because why would Bucknell be in it and Montana be in it, but not Nebraska or Oklahoma State? I mean, that to me, you don't have the best 64. Just because these teams qualify, according to whatever the rules are, I get it. But you just do not have the top 64. Otherwise, why would Oklahoma, they just barely got in, so shouldn't they be a 16? No, they're a 10.
And I totally hear that argument as well. I think, especially when you look at the Big Ten Conference to address Nebraska as well. I mean, playing in the Big Ten, we all know this was clearly a down year for the Big Ten Conference. And the four teams that got in are the four teams that we expected to get in. So, I agreed with the four that they put in from the Big Ten Conference. Now, when it comes to, and again, it's all about variety when it comes to the NCAA tournament. You know, Bucknell, I mean, this is a team that won their conference, a team that's been hot as of late.
Right, but would you consider them better than Oklahoma State? I wouldn't.
No. They play in the Patriot
League. That's why they don't have the best 64, and they never do. That's my
And, there's a lot of things that factor into what the selection committee does as well, John. I mean, it's all about moolah at the end of the day. And it's all about, making the intriguing matchup, right? And that's why I think that's why they put Michigan State with a possible chance to meet Duke in the Sweet 16. And that's going to be a sexy matchup that will lead to a lot of ratings. So there's a lot of factors.
I would think Michigan State would just love to play Duke again just because for that reason. Just love it. I mean, that'd be awesome. Yeah, it's just like Michigan wanting to play North Carolina because they beat us this year. So.
Wouldn't that be something? That's something I thought about on the drive into the station.
Absolutely.
Because Michigan has the opportunity to play North Carolina And Duke has the opportunity to play Michigan State. I mean, yeah, there's a possibility that both Michigan State.
That's who you want.
That's crazy because both, you know, Michigan and Michigan State are two premier men's college basketball programs in this state, in the mitten, may get knocked out by two North Carolina teams. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Who knows? But, yeah. John, thank you so much for the call, my man.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to Deshaun Tate. We are certainly limited on time here, but I want to close the show out just getting thoughts on the bracket that was released to the nation last night on the selection show. Deshaun Tate, men's college basketball producer, host, and reporter for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. Deshaun, how you doing, my man?
Oh, Martin, I'm sleepy, dude. I mean, I've been breaking down brackets and scratching stuff off and inking in this and penciling in that and throwing all types of brackets away. I want to ask you something real quick before we get started, just real fast.
Yeah.
Are you a multiple bracket fill-out kind of guy, or are you just a stick to one?
Oh, I am a multiple bracket kind of guy, Deshaun, because, you know, when moolah is on the line, because if you get a perfect bracket, what is it, like $1 billion for a perfect bracket? I fill out. I do all of the auto picks. I think I did something crazy like 55 brackets last year. Like most of them, though, were auto picks. So I'm not sitting there going through every matchup. I'm like, all right, auto fill. I'll take my time with this one, auto fill. So yeah, I do whatever. Okay. I do it. I go crazy every year with it, man. It's fun. It's fun.
just thought I'd ask. That's all.
So I want to ask you, Deshaun. You know, you've been breaking down brackets since yesterday, and you will continue to do so throughout the week leading up to the tournament. What are a few of the biggest takeaways from what the selection committee put together from the 68-team field last night?
Well, obviously, everybody keeps talking about the Oklahoma thing, Oklahoma getting out, Notre Dame not getting in. First and foremost, let me say something about Notre Dame. Injuries is a part of the game. So we can't start taking into account that, you know, if a guy didn't play, well, had he played, they schedule or their record would look like this, and so he should have been in. However, I understand that Oklahoma got some favoritism a little bit. At the same time, they're playing in one of the more competitive conferences in the country. Now, that's not to say that Notre Dame is not and that Oklahoma State didn't deserve to be in, but in the same token, when you do have, I mean, the Trae Young factor really does exist, in my personal opinion.
I agree.
Do they necessarily deserve to be in? Maybe not. But I tell you one thing, if Syracuse got in, for crying out loud, a team that's been on the bubble for the last 2, 3, 4 years, and then and Arizona State got in as well, whose resume doesn't look very much better than Oklahoma's, then by far, I think in that case, Oklahoma deserved to be in. That's just a couple of the takeaways.
Ohio State, Purdue, Michigan State, four teams representing the Big Ten. Do you think either of those four have an opportunity to make it to a Final Four this year when looking at how the bracket looks right now?
Absolutely. I think it's only two of them, who I think is the two best teams in the conference and has been the two best teams in the conference and the most trustworthy two teams in the conference. By the way, that is not Purdue and that is not Ohio State. And I think that it's completely wide open for Michigan to get there. I'm not saying it's going to be an easy task, but I think it is wide open. I know they played North Carolina earlier this year, lost by about 20-something along those lines. But Michigan has a really good team, and
John Beilein, right.
John Beilein, rather, is a guy that you can't just automatically assume that is going to be a write-in for a victory against this team. And they're playing just as good as probably anybody in the country right now. I don't believe in all this rest and hurt somebody and too much rest and not enough rest. At the end of the day, you're going to put your programs out there on the court with no matter how much time. And that's just the way that it is. What's going to happen is going to happen and meant to happen, in my opinion. As far as Michigan State, I think that they can do it as long as Duke loses before the Sweet 16 rolls around. Because
right.
Me and you had this conversation when I was in Chicago, Al.
Yep.
And you told me who I throw out there, Duke or Michigan State. And as much as I really wanted to say Duke, I said I'm going to go with Sparty. And I made a little bit of a homer call. Not a lot, but just a little bit. And I rolled with Sparty. 1-11 against Coach K.
Right. Oh, did we lose him? Is Deshaun still there?
Looks like we still got him on the line, but
Deshaun,
we might be having
me?
Some technical difficulties, so I'll try and get it figured out here.
Mondays, all right. But, yeah, you know, it's interesting. Yeah, Deshaun and I, we had this conversation before Michigan State played Duke in the Champions Classic, and For some reason, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. And you know, Tom Izzo had the famous quote of, you know, I'm tired of holding my own. Basically saying at some point it comes down to players, to his players making plays. Do we have Sean? We have Deshaun back. Deshaun, are you back with us?
Yeah, sorry about that, man. It's more madness going on than just the brackets right now. But
no, you're good. We got about a minute left, but go ahead.
Okay, but what I was going to say is, you know, Michigan State has to give me a reason to believe that they can actually do this. I believe that if either one of two things, if either Duke loses before the Sweet 16, which I think that the Rhode Island game, it can be really, really good and tough for Duke. Mm-hmm. But if they lose before the Sweet 16, I think that Michigan State can easily get to the Final Four, if not to win the whole thing. And that, we could be looking at the winner of the NCAA tournament with that Michigan State and Duke game right there. That's how critical it is. So either that or if Michigan State beats Duke, I think that Michigan State can then show me that once you can overcome that, then you can maybe overcome not being able to win a national championship in 18 tries.
All right. And Deshaun, you know, we got to bring you back later on this week as we get closer to the NCAA tournament games. Without a doubt, my man, we're just short on time right now. But real briefly, in 30 seconds, can you give me what's your Final Four of your main bracket if you filled out multiple? What's your Final Four look like?
I'm not a multiple guy, but I will say, and this is going to change. I'm almost positive of it. It's going to change. But right now, I think I was looking at a Kentucky, North Carolina, Duke, Villanova, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I can't remember if I had a Villanova or a West Virginia, but I think it was Villanova.
All right. We'll have you back later on this week. Much thanks, Deshaun. Much thanks to all of our listeners. Much thanks to Ian Hawley. Be easy, people.